Joining us on the line, a guy who has been keeping tabs on all these teams in training camp. He does it all year long. He is the national NFL writer for the Wall Street Journal. Kevin Clark joins us. Kevin, good evening. Thank you very much for coming on the air with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, where are you, Kevin? Are you doing a training camp tour right now as we
speak? Yeah, I am in Green Bay, Wisconsin, doing a Midwest swing. I'll do Minnesota after this, and then I'll swing around back towards New York. 15 teams, I think, about 18 days on the road, and what's not to love?
Yeah, that's great. Are you gonna? Is Pittsburgh on your itinerary? Are you going to come and see the Bills?
Not as of yet. I would try to swing by for a preseason game once I'm back in New York.
Gotcha.
Typically, I like to hit the camps or a little further away when early in the first week of August, second week of August, and swing by on the back end back when teams are back at their facility when they're closer to New York.
Gotcha. One thing about the Packers camp, I've been there. The Bills practiced with the Panthers almost 10 years ago up there, right at at the complex across from Lambeau Field. The whole atmosphere up there is great, though, isn't it? And the weather's usually good, nice and cool like it is here in upstate New York. That's one of the best training camp atmospheres in the league, I think, up there at Green Bay, right?
I'll tell you what's interesting. Mike McCarthy talked about this today. They are a bit of a organization that likes to keep secrets. Ted Thompson doesn't give up a whole lot of information. Mike McCarthy doesn't either. And so one of the things that Mike McCarthy had said today was that whenever they run a play they want to show week one against Seattle, they go indoors. They have a big facility. They're a big indoor facility. And so it's kind of an odd practice these days because there's a lot of fans outside. Obviously, they still have the tradition with the bicycles. The players biking over with the kids' bikes from the stadium. But it's sort of interesting because it's a little bit fractured. Some of those plays are behind closed doors, fans sort of sitting on their hands or watching the fourth-string quarterback, Chase Reddick, run the offense. So it's an interesting camp, to say the least, because those guys, when they show anything they're going to have in the regular season, they don't want to do it in front of those fans. They're a little bit paranoid. So yeah. I thought that was very interesting. I thought it was a candid moment, quite frankly, for Mike McCarthy. So, no, well, you can't beat the atmosphere. You can't beat the fans. But they definitely do take some steps to make sure you don't see anything that they're going to show week one.
Yeah, I'm sure Bills fans feel, justifiably so, that they're very loyal fans, very rabid fans, and I would think I'd put the Green Bay Packers fans right up there next to them. You see that when they go to camp. They are in love with that team, aren't they? They are just absolutely in love with the Packers up there in Wisconsin.
It's amazing, like I said, they go in indoors, Rodgers and those guys, Clay Matthews, they're running the offense, so you have the fourth string players on the field, and the fans are going crazy. I mean, I don't know what. There are some places around this country I go, and they're not going crazy for the first string players. And they're going crazy for fourth string guys who are never even heard of, guys like Jamal Roll, guys who aren't going to make the team in a lot of cases, and they are so into it. It's really amazing to see how much these folks like football. And quite frankly, it fires me up after this season. It's just a great area to be around as far as getting ready for the season and realizing how much people are looking forward to this season.
On the line with Kevin Clark, he is a national NFL writer for the Wall Street Journal. He joins us from Packers camp. It sounds like you've been in camp with the Lions already, right, Kevin?
Yes, I was in camp with the Lions 2 days ago and then the Bears yesterday. Lions looked real good. I mean, I was impressed. I'd never spoken to Jim Caldwell before. I was very impressed with how he's running his camp. The new offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi, came over from New Orleans. He seems like a great offensive mind. He's a young guy. I think he's only 33 or 34. I'm going to do, once I get to Minnesota tomorrow, I will have seen every single NFC North team in consecutive days. And I don't know if there's a tougher division in football right now. I know people talk about the NFC West. Certainly there's some case to be made, maybe even the AFC West. But right now, I think the NFC North is such a good division that I think all four teams can win the division. It will be amazing to see.
You know, I saw a tweet that you wrote about Detroit offense coordinator Joe Lombardi being the most impressive assistant you've come across. Why is that? What do you think of him?
John, you've seen me out at camp. I like to go sort of the questions are broad, they're philosophical, and They're not the kind of thing that guys typically get, especially coordinators. Typically, coordinators want to know, whether guys can be healthy or who's going to run with the ones. And so I kind of put guys on the spot a lot. And not to toot my own horn, but it's sort of you can gauge how much these guys are thinking philosophically when I talk to these guys, right? So I was speaking to Joe Lombardi about the future of the game, about technology and all this stuff. And quite frankly, the other person who goes with me on this stuff as far as knows about technology and the future of the game is Nathaniel Hackett, who's in Buffalo. But, you know, it's young guys who know exactly where the future of the game is going. They know exactly where the philosophy should be. They can obviously adapt to any situation. I think that's amazing. You talk to some of these coordinators, John, and you get into situations where they don't want to know anything about the tablet. They don't want to know about the new trends. They just want to coach the football team. You know, one of the things I joked in the tweet was that so many times they'll ask a question that maybe is about something 5 years from now or a player who could change the game. And the response you'll get back is, it's just tackling and blocking. That's just football, man. And you can tell that these guys aren't thinking in that way. And so Joe Lombardi was an example of someone who, whatever I threw at him, he knew what to say, and he knew, you could tell he was thinking about these things. And maybe that doesn't translate to being an amazing coach. It certainly doesn't hurt, but it's certainly someone you want in the league because guys like that in positions of power, offensive coordinator for a fairly good team, you want smart guys like that in those positions.
And you put the Bills' Nathaniel Hackett in that category as well, Kevin. Tell me about your interactions with him.
Yeah, I spoke with him last year about a big project, and not all of it is really run as far as how that's changing the game, technology, the future of the game. And you could tell, obviously, Nathaniel is in a interesting position because he comes from a football family. Obviously, when he was 5 or 6 years old, he was drawing up plays, but, you know, he obviously adapted. And some of those guys just sort of take what their family gives them or what their father gives them, and they just run it. And you can tell he is adaptable. You can tell that he wants to learn all this new information, and that he's up for anything. And I was incredibly impressed last year. You know, I spoke with both coordinators at length last year, which would be Mike Pettin and Rich Hackett, and obviously I came away impressed with both of them.
You mentioned the tablet technology. The teams now use tablets on the sidelines and in place of the old pictures. They used to be Polaroids not that long ago on the sidelines. What do you think the tablet technology can do for these teams, Kevin, and which teams do you think are best equipped to use it right now?
That's a great question. The amazing thing, we'll be writing a lot about that in the next couple of weeks, the amazing thing that guys have said, and this is one thing, you know, actually Coach Pettin last year was the first person to mention this, is that you can have a lifestyle. There's no reason to be sitting in the coach's office at 4 a.m. anymore because, quite frankly, you can do it at home. You can watch tablet video anywhere. You can watch it at the grocery store. You can watch it, you know, Coach Pettin, he you know, even in Cleveland this year, he takes his vacation to the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and he sits on the third floor of his rented house, and he watches, you know, Steelers third downs or whatever. And so the biggest thing is the lifestyle thing for those guys. And I think you'll see less hours worked after a while once coaches adapt to this. And then once you get more sleep, I think you'll be making better decisions. You know, I think people overlook, you know, John, you're around the team every day. I think people overlook how overworked these guys are. And some of the crazy, weirder decisions across the NFL or guys who maybe snap at you, they are working 90 hours a week. They're not sleeping, in some cases, 120 hours a week. They're not sleeping nearly enough. And so I think you're going to see a calmer, more relaxed NFL, maybe as these young guys learn to realize that you don't have to work all that much because you can really get this filming information anywhere, and it takes such little time to cut up this film that really it's saving you dozens of hours a week, and that's no exaggeration.
Making it more efficient. I mean, you're talking efficiency, basically.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Shanahan told me this thing in this offseason, actually, where he basically said, in the time it used to take to watch 4 games, which is rewind the tape, you can, you know, say, oh, I want to see this, and you have to actually physically get up and go see it. You can just watch 16 games in that time because you can just go on your tablet and you can say, I want to see every run to the left that C.J. Spiller has ever done, and you can watch the entire season of it. And you can get that in about 5 minutes, and then you can watch it as soon as it happens. So it is, the information is amazing. I'm a bit obsessed with it because he's asking everyone else to change the game, and the answer is they don't know. The coaches don't know. Everyone is trying to, you know, Coach Caldwell in Detroit shared this with me the other day. He said, we're all trying to figure it out. We don't know how it's going to change. Now, I had some theories, you know, but nothing has been sorted out. Nothing will, quite frankly, for 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm. It seems as if the future, and maybe future winning in the NFL, might belong to the coaches who figure out how to best utilize the new technology at their disposal.
Well, I think, you know, you saw in the mid-90s, the late-90s, and really until maybe 05 or 06, that the teams that figured out the salary caps first were the teams that won, okay? There were owners like Kraft and those guys really said, okay, we have to manage the salary cap well and all that stuff. And then there were some weird years. There were some teams like the Niners and the Jaguars who didn't understand it, and they failed, okay? I think technology is the next forefront where you devote your time and you understand that you're going to have a huge edge, and in 2 or 3 years, the teams that harness it the best are going to be the 4 or 5 best teams in the NFL. I was speaking to some guys in the offseason who, you know, there's a guy in Indianapolis who was a pro personnel scout who a couple of years ago, 1 or 2 years ago, they just made him a technology guy because he was a football guy, football mind. That's all he wanted to do his entire life. And so it's, you know what, you're going to be in charge of technology because you know what people need, you know what the scouts are going to demand, you know what it's like to be on a long flight and what you're going to need and what you're going to have to pack into that iPad. And so that's an example of a team where they're saying, okay, we got to figure this out, so we're going to devote our best guys to it. You know, the teams that aren't going to catch up to this are the teams that are, A, not using it at all, or B, throwing, you know, the summer intern on it. I think it's the kind of thing where you need to throw great minds at it, or else you're going to get lost. Same thing as the salary cap. You know, you look at the teams that had their smartest guys or hired 5 people for it. They understood it better than everybody else. With technology, you're going to have to get guys, really smart guys, whether it's young guys or not. There are older guys who figure this out, but you know, you're going to need a mind on that and do it.
Our guest is Kevin Clark. He's the national NFL writer for the Wall Street Journal. Hey, Kevin, what is it about your audience that lead you to stories like this, to, you know, forward-thinking technological-based stories about the NFL?
Yeah. We write for everybody. You know, the joke I always make is that I write for my mom, who knows who Peyton Manning is and doesn't know who anybody else is in the NFL. Because we're writing for people who maybe don't even know who C.J. Spiller is, for instance,
right?
You have to write to them in a way they'll understand. So I think that everybody in the world is figuring out technology right now. I think everybody in the workplace, whether they sell insurance, whether they are a delivery man, they are figuring out, well, how do tablets change things? How am I going to adapt to this technology? And so if you read a story saying Jim Caldwell is trying to figure this out or Peyton Manning is trying to figure this out, you will relate to that. You know, I mean, our biggest hit at the paper, in our football coverage in general, both college and pro, those stories have been stories that anyone in the business world can relate to. We have, you know, a lot of subscribers and all of them have one common thing, which is business. And so, and no one, they don't care about the contracts. They don't care about the dollars and cents because that's not relative. But what is relative is the management style, how people are dealing with things, anything that those folks can relate to. And there's been a good response when you give them a story like that.
You mentioned your mom knows Peyton Manning. She must have liked the story you wrote this summer about Peyton Manning's unique way of kind of sizing up his teammates. He doesn't do it on a football field, huh?
Yeah, no, that's another example. So essentially, Peyton Manning, when he gets a new player, whether it's Emmanuel Sanders, whether it's a new draft pick, Cody Latimer, he takes them out to a golf course. He plays 9 holes with them, and he gets them used to what I'll call the Peyton experience, which is micromanaging, which is a little bit of attitude, which is yelling, you know, in all honesty, and sort of getting those guys to understand what he's all about. Now, the practice time has been cut, you know, significantly in the last couple of years. You can't really get that one-on-one time with Peyton, so he's taking these guys out. They've never golfed before. Cody Latimer, the rookie out of Indiana, had never golfed his entire life, never touched a club. All of a sudden, he's golfing with Peyton Manning. It's intimidating. He wants to size those guys up, see what they're made of, see what the competition is going to be like. And then he teaches them golf. And that gets him ready to get Cody Latimer, Monte Ball, or any of these guys he's done this with. He gets him ready for Sunday, because he's going to have to say, put your left foot 2 inches to the left. He actually does that on the field, and so of course he's going to do it on the golf course. So that's an example of something our readers love, because Peyton is the boss, and everyone plays golf with their boss, and this is just a story about playing golf with your boss, essentially.
You know, it makes me wonder, does anybody ever get sick of Peyton Manning always coaching him up, do you think? Always telling him where to go, what to do, how to think? Probably tells him to address.
Yeah, you know, not those guys, because those guys are young pups and they're ready. Yeah. And I think at this point in talking to them, they seem pretty excited to even be around Peyton Manning and getting to tell their, you know, friends and girlfriends that they hang out with Peyton Manning.
However,
I do think there are some veterans who, and I spoke with them about this Super Bowl, who kind of say to Peyton, Peyton, just once can you relax a little bit? You know, I mean, because what he does is, I think Peyton is a genius. I think he's the greatest football player of our era, and I think that he's the greatest micromanager of our era. But one of the things he does that makes him great is he will go into a video game room or a lounge in the locker room, and there'll be some guys playing cards and be playing Madden, and he'll go up to them and say, well, what do we do on third down against San Diego if they bring pressure from the left side? And they'll be expected to answer, and he doesn't leave until he gets an answer. And so that's an example of Peyton demanding a lot and getting a lot. But I think that it wouldn't be surprised if when Peyton leaves the room, there's some eye rolls saying, there goes Peyton again. So I think he's a genius, but he does definitely like to keep folks off guard, I guess is one way to put it.
I know a former coach of his in Indianapolis loved working with him, appreciated his talent, but did admit to me once, he just wears me out. I mean, I can see that happening, right?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, that was it. Some of the coaches said that during the Super Bowl, is that, you know, they don't sleep. They don't sleep when Peyton Manning is, you know, I've written this the week of the Super Bowl. He made them go back all the way to 2001 and watch the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl before the AFC Championship game, because he was just looking for different things Belichick did. So they watched all the games. They watched all of these AFC Championship games, all that. And then the coaches say, okay, we're done, Peyton. We've watched all the video. And he said, nope, we got to keep going. And they kept watching these obscure games over and over again. It sounded like something that would wear a coach out, that's for sure.
Kevin Clark is our guest, national NFL writer for the Wall Street Journal. One more article you wrote recently, Kevin. I don't want to keep you too long, but it caught my attention. I watched the Buffalo Bills out here, and even going back a year or two in their use of a hybrid linebacker safety named Brian Scott, and now I'm watching how they're using a safety, Denoris Searcy, how they use him as, at times, a linebacker as well. You wrote about the New Orleans Saints and how the Saints and their coordinator on defense, Rob Ryan, might be on the cutting edge of doing something different with safeties that could change defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, essentially, everyone has been talking about this heavy nickel package or big nickel in the last couple of years, which is basically three safeties playing one of them as a hybrid linebacker. What the Saints are doing is, A, they've invested in that. They've changed their entire salary cap structure around. They've drafted around it. But they also have five safeties who can play. That's what Rob Ryan told me last week. So that doesn't mean heavy nickel. That means safeties all over the place. That means as many as four on a typical first down in some cases if they're playing a pass-heavy team who can run the ball in some situations. So Rob Ryan is getting really creative. He's going to have these guys, you have to be sort of careful about reporting what you see in some of these practices. There are rules about it, but they were putting in practice the Saints safeties in positions I've never seen before and bringing pressure in a way. Not these safeties sneaking up right before the snap and going through the middle type of safety blitz, but just like, you know, really playing a safety as if you were Bruce Smith, you know, and I thought that was really intriguing. And I think it could be the future just because you look at these monster tight ends who are 6'7" and no one can cover them. And they see one every day, by the way, in Jimmy Graham.
Right.
That sort of helps this whole philosophy. You see those freak athletes and you see the rules and how it's changed everything. And I don't see how the future isn't these sort of 6'3" guys who can do everything. Get rid of the linebacker. Cause, you know, if you go into a pass heavy team and they run the ball 30 times, that's what you want. You want to make the running back beat you. So People keep saying, people email me, they say, oh, well, they'll just run, you know, opposing teams just run the ball on the Saints. Well, good. I think that's Rob Ryan's hope, that these teams just sort of run the ball. You know, if you go play Peyton Manning, you want Monte Ball to carry the ball 35 times. Absolutely.
Kevin, it's always interesting talking to you. We always follow your stuff at the Wall Street Journal. We thank you for spending the time with us tonight. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, John.
Kevin Clark is the national pro football writer, the national NFL writer for the Wall Street Journal. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin Clark, WSJ. And as I said, he's always got the interesting kind of offbeat takes on stuff like Rob Ryan's defense and what's going on down there in New Orleans. And like Peyton Manning playing golf with his teammates to size him up. Really good stuff. And the technology stuff, the use of the pads, the tablets. Did you notice it during Sunday night's game, the Bills-Giants game? They'll use it again. We haven't really been able to dive into that yet with the Bills coaching staff to see how they employed it in the game. Head coach Doug Marrone said after the game on Sunday that his didn't work in the first half, which would be a problem, obviously. But we should dive more into that. Kevin Clark covers the NFL, national NFL writer for the Wall Street Journal. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin Clark WSJ.